The White Noise Podcast is an independent, community-led production. It is not affiliated nor endorsed by Gizmodo
or Gawker Media.
Views expressed in this podcast are solely those of each participant.
Please do not listen
if you are easily offended.
What you are about to hear is real. It has not been edited or enhanced.
Welcome. You've got
White Noise.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 6 of the White Noise Podcast. Bring with you tonight a very special Auto Tech edition. Just for those who are first-time listeners, this is a podcast about gadgets, tech industry gossip, news, and other random things that we choose to talk about. Tonight we have a good lineup of special guests. Starting off tonight, Gonzo Ryder joining us as always.
I'm touching my nips. Let's get it started.
Veto number 9.
Go, blah!
Kevlar is on here live tweeting everything.
Yeah, that's me.
Special guest tonight is Kaiser Machead.
Yo.
And lastly, super special guest tonight is Adam Barrera, also known as High Mileage.
What's up, White Noise?
Thank you, everybody, for coming out tonight. And thank you, Adam, for, you know, taking the time to join us and talk about cars. You are the resident car expert on here this evening, and I do believe you also have a sort of a side business, or is it a primary business, where it revolves around cars, does it not?
Yeah, man, I'm an auto industry analyst, so it's my job to make sure that the cars on the dealer lots are worth your money, and the tech inside them, you know, is worth your money too.
Now, you were part of the reason why we got exposed to Kevlar's alter ego, T-Bone, on the last
podcast.
That's
his primary ego, actually. I mean, he won't tell you, but yeah, that's all natural.
It's lies. It's full of shit.
Oh, natural.
But tell us a bit about...
It doesn't even make sense, Gonzo.
I don't give a shit.
Adam, of course it doesn't. Tell us a little bit about High Mileage. What is High Mileage? What's that all about? How did it come to fruition?
Man, it's really just a way for me to talk to guests who... Am I still on this call?
Yeah.
It got muted. All right, all of a sudden. Yeah. It's really a way for me to talk to people in the auto community who are just interested in cars, you know? Twitter shrinks the world, and so I get to meet people like Chance Laureate is a White Noise guest, Agrippa is a White Noise guest, you know? These guys just approach me, talk about cars, we just BS, and I turn that into live meetups, tweetups. I've worked on behalf of manufacturers before, and I'm kind of in the middle of a career transition. I'm job searching, so yep, it's great to work with cars, man.
Oh, I noticed that you were actually invited by Mazda to cover the Austin Auto Show, correct?
And the New York Auto Show. Actually, they hired me on the spot because they saw that I was tweeting and interacting with people at the New York Auto Show floor, and they said, we need a guy on the ground to rep us. Can you do it? I said, hell yeah, let's do it. So that was a lot of fun. I wouldn't rep every brand, but Mazda's got some fun, quick cars, and I'm all about those, you know.
I was going through your videos, and I really like the fact that you just pretty much get down and dirty with actual people talking about cars. You're not really, you know, going for the high-profile, you know, executives. You're just talking to the common folk and getting their opinions and stuff. Just really, really cool.
Down and Dirty is a little bit rated PG-13 for what I do. But yeah, no, I mean, I hit up the executives when I can, but the most important people are the buyers who are interested in cars, right? So you call me the very special guest. Man, I'm so glad to be here talking with you guys, and I'm here to learn from you guys, you know, what are the tech topics that really tech-savvy people are interested in as soon as they close the door to their car, you know? That's what I'm here to learn about.
True that. Thank you very much for being on the show once more. And for everybody else out there, you could check out him on you can check out Twitter at twitter.com/highmileage, and his YouTube is youtube.com/highmileage as well.
Don't just follow me, tweet at me, man. I love to hear back from people.
All right. And speaking of the topics that tech people want to talk about in terms of cars, I think one of the big issues that we're seeing right now, we're living in an exciting time when it comes to technology and automobiles, because we're seeing more and more of the software side of automobiles getting beefed up and becoming more the focus point of the car itself. Whereas a few years ago, there was a major disconnect between technology and cars. It was more hardware driven. Now we're seeing sort of a software revolution come in. For example, smartphone integration, iPod integration, things like that. What do you guys think about being able to integrate your iPhones or your Androids and stuff seamlessly into the car's software?
It's coming along, but I think it still has a ways to go. Like, I've used a little bit, like, my friend's iPhone with her Microsoft Sync, and it's kind of neat, but it has its problems. Like, when you try to sync it up with the car.
What kind of car does she have?
It's a Mercury Mountaineer.
All right, yeah. So it's a first generation Sync in there. Sync is pretty cool, actually. You guys have to research My Ford Touch. It's their new version of Sync. In the show notes, all that was mentioned was iPod integration. And I think when you get into Volkswagen, a BMW, GM, a Ford, a Hyundai, all of them have native iPod support. But in the Ford, you can even control it via voice when it works. But you're saying you have trouble.
The issue I have, like, is you hook the phone up and it tries to sync everything that's on the phone, and then it won't do it, and then it'll say, come on with this really creepy voice. It's like, visit this website for more information on how to do it. I'm like,
oh man,
I just don't want it to do, and it will take forever, and it lags really bad. I think it's just first generation software.
Yeah, that could be it. The new gen My Ford Touch is pretty solid. But about iPod integration, I mean, having that is the only thing in the show notes. You know, was kind of this like watershed moment for me, because it seems to me that in the software, in the firmware, in the cloud computing world, being device agnostic is what's the future focus. You know, people are all about everything software, everything in the cloud being device agnostic. So I think it's up to device manufacturers to make sure that there's a standard. You know what I mean? It shouldn't matter whether you're trying to hook up an Android phone, an iPod, because there are some companies like BMW and Volkswagen that focus only on iPod. Where does that? How many of you guys actually have iPod, iTouch, iPhone stuff?
Not is anymore.
Yeah,
I used to, but I'm an Android guy now.
Y'all are all Android, huh?
I'm a recent. I'm a convert as of this week.
I have an iPod, really? But I use a BlackBerry, so.
I picked up the Droid 2 Global from Motorola.
Yeah, so if you had a BMW or a Volkswagen that has only an iPod port instead of a USB port, and only native iPod support instead of a system where you can actually access any device, you know, you'd feel screwed right now, right? Because you don't want a $20,000, $40,000 investment to be handicapped by technology that you're going to replace every, what, 6 months? Every time you switch phone platforms? You know?
Yeah, and I think that Microsoft is sort of leading the way with this. I mean, with their technology here in the U.S., and I think in Europe they're pushing their Blue and Me, which is taken up by Fiat. Pretty much anybody in the Fiat Automotive Group, which is a lot of car companies, are integrating this into their cars, where pretty much any phone you put in or any technological device, it will sync it. It'll do your text messages on the screen and all that stuff. It's trying to be a more user-friendly interface than what we saw up to like maybe 2 years ago, where you weren't able to do that.
It's amazing how far we've come, isn't it? I mean, and the thing is, I don't think a lot of manufacturers have come that far. There are manufacturers that are leading, maybe three or four at the very most that are leading, and they have partner support. They have partner support with Apple, partner support with Android, partner support with Microsoft, and that's why they're leading. But the manufacturers that don't have that partner support are really lagging behind. I'm in a 2010 Acura TSX this week in town covering the LA Auto Show. And this thing, the navitainment system is hilarious in this thing. I wish that you guys could take a tour through this thing. You're talking no anti-aliasing on the screen, no voice command input.
Oh, yeah. If it's the same thing as the MDX from a couple of years ago?
It's essentially the same thing. Oh. It's like a three-generation-old navigation system. So where GM...
Don't worry, guys.
T-Bone did a review of it.
Oh, and it will probably end my career.
But
yeah, no. I just hate to see white noise readers paying $2,000 for a system that, you know, they would never buy a PC without anti-aliasing. You know what I mean? They wouldn't buy a phone that didn't have easy HMI to understand, you know, easy to understand HMI. But yet they're buying $2,000 navigation systems that you have to use a joystick on, you know? It's ridiculous.
It's actually really funny. The person to blame for that is actually BMW with their whole iTouch or whatever they did.
iDrive.
Yes. It still is a horrendous piece of equipment to use. But I was at the Mercedes dealership a few weeks ago checking out the new MLs, and the rep was telling me that the integration on iPods and iPhones is so unreal, and the voice recognition is so advanced right now that you could pretty much, instead of dictating the speech like you would, you know, go to 123 North Avenue, you just say, go to 123 North Avenue, and it finds it for you, just like that.
Like in my Ford Touch, where you can say, I'm hungry. You don't have to say, find me, or you can say, find me a pizza restaurant. You don't have to say it in like a structured tree of commands. You can say it kind of like you can skip all of those, I guess, menu trees and just say it conversationally. The problem is, if they've spent so much time refining it for iPod and iPhone use, what happens when you connect your Android? Did you ask him?
I didn't have an Android back then, so I didn't really care.
We got to try that.
Yeah, maybe I'll go back. I'll do a follow up on this, but yeah, but like I said, it's interesting. We're in a software revolution in the car industry right now. It's shifting away from hardware. And one of the other big things that's happening is the use of software to make your car more safe, or so they say, with hazard-aware options like parking sensors and rear-view cameras and collision detection and all this other stuff that they're putting into your car and charging you big bucks for.
I'm going to be the first one to say it. Fuck that.
Have
you ever driven
in
New Jersey? If you try driving some shit like that in New Jersey, your fucking car is going to explode. People cut you off like as a matter of course. It's just like basic driving here. People see like the tiniest little space between you and the guy in front of you, they're going to cut you off. People will run up on your ass. That thing will constantly be beeping at you. Fuck no, I don't want that shit in my car.
I think it takes
away from the natural part of actually driving.
Well, that
like,
too,
if the car's not going to fully drive itself, then don't have it half-ass drive itself.
Well, that and people are going to be relying on it instead of paying attention to what the fuck they're doing. And
yeah,
then
well,
when they crash, they're going to be like, oh, well, it didn't tell me I was about to run up that 18-wheeler's ass.
There's like the GPS's. Drive off a cliff.
I assume you guys have seen the video with the Volvo test car.
That failed?
Yeah, the one that ran into the back of another truck.
Yeah, it was a media event in Germany. I remember that.
Yeah.
happened? I did not see this.
No, it was a Volvo. They fitted a Volvo sedan with this proximity sensor tech, and it basically was supposed to stop the car from colliding with anything in front of it, you know, if you or the driver were being careless, and of course it failed. It didn't detect the object in time, and it braked too late, and it ran right into the back of it.
Yeah, that's why you can't be dependent on that stuff. I don't think that's a situation where you blame technology. That's where you blame stupid people.
Yeah.
Now, I've tried that. That stuff is retailed. That's not like an experimental thing. That stuff you can get on a Volvo XC60 right now. You can get it on a Volvo S60, their brand new sedan, right now. And in fact, they had a demonstration at the Chicago Midwest Auto Media rally that we had a few weeks ago. And yes, after several passes, like maybe after 100 passes, the system did fail, and it hit the little paper dummy they had set up. But the thing is, man, you don't blame technology as a just-in-case technology for people's stupidity, you know? I mean, you're
but
inattention.
I think that's the problem with people.
Everything.
Is they're like, oh, right. I have this technology. I don't need to pay attention.
Yeah, that's...
I think it's great technology to have, but I think people will see it as, oh, well, I can do other things and my car will be okay.
It's kind of like airbags and seatbelts. You know, when airbags first came out, people were saying, oh, well, since I have the airbag, I don't need to wear my seatbelt, you know, even though the airbag is a supplementary restraint. This crash avoidance system is the same thing. It's a supplement, man. Nothing takes the place of an attentive driver, right? But I think tech car enthusiasts might be at fault for encouraging the development of these kind of technologies. Look at the Nissan GTR. Do y'all love the Nissan GTR?
No. It's something about it. It's almost like a G35 with lots of kit on it.
A lot of people really idolize the Nissan GTR, but it's amazing to me because as a real driver, I mean, this is a car that's has PRND. Like my mother could drive it, right? It's essentially an automatic transmission. This is a car with a traction control system that you can't disable. It makes you look like a hero because the car drives itself around the racetrack, frankly. And when we aggrandize vehicles like that, of course the technology is going to trickle down and, you know, it's going to be used for evil instead of good, you know?
My car ran over that passenger or that other person, not me.
Exactly.
Well, no. It had a mind of its own.
If it's a Toyota, it probably did.
Which is a good point, too. I mean, you've got so many systems rely on software in a vehicle now. It's not just navitainment. It's not just cell phone integration, iPod integration. It's the way the throttle is managed. You know, it's the way the engine actually runs, how much fuel and air, you know, are mixed into it, whether the car will actually let you start it or not, whether it'll let you turn it off or not. All of these are run through software and through a control area network. And in the future, it's scary because what happens if you get a computer virus, you know?
And it's not the end of it. There's more coming.
Oh, of course.
But another problem I keep thinking of, like with these kinds of systems being developed, what does this mean for the cost of servicing in the end? Like, does it increase? Does it decrease?
Well, yeah, you got to buy the new licenses every time you get a new car.
Well, you have to download the new McAfee virus.
Well, frankly, the way that it works is probably a wash or it's cheaper. Take, for instance, electronic power steering. I am not a Luddite when it comes to technology, right? I think the use of software in automotive has enabled moonshot fuel economy. It's enabled us to have cars that park themselves accurately now. Software does so many incredible things. Brake-based traction control in a Ford F-150, you know, before you have an artificial system kicking in, the car is smart enough to put brake torque on an individual wheel that's slipping. So all of that stuff is good, right? But take for instance, oh my goodness, did I just lose my train of thought? It's this American honey. Gosh, where was I going? Software is going to be ultimately good, right? It's going to be ultimately a good thing, but there are caveats to it, and there's a good and a bad side to everything. You just have to think of it in a 360 instead of be blindly accepting of software.
I don't know if you guys...
Speaking of 360...
He's a little passionate about this.
Oh, I love that.
Speaking of 360, though, going off that point, and keeping on the same point, we might be seeing the 360's Kinect technology in the next iteration of Microsoft software for cars, where theoretically you could probably be able to get into your car and it'll scan your face and it'll know who you are, what your settings are, the memory seats will know where to position themselves, what you should do, like your audio volume presets, all that other stuff will be determined just by stepping into your car.
Great use of technology, right?
Sort and it could be used for good.
That's pretty awesome, because my wife's has a 300C, and it has the little buttons that you push. Like, she's setting number one, I'm setting number two. So whenever you get in and you push the two button, you know, it slides the seat back and it tilts the mirrors out and it changes the stereo and all that fun stuff. Now, if I could do that just by getting in, that'd be great, because I wouldn't have to worry about slamming my knees into the dashboard every time the 5'6" Puerto Rican gets out of it.
Well, the other thing with the way the Kinect uses, and it recognizes body motions, it recognizes where your arms are and all that stuff, it could be very good for biometric security, because the way you walk, the gait, is actually one of the more, it's one of the more strong forms of biometric security. Yeah. Well, so yeah, it's easy walking up to the car, and it's like, oh, that's, you know, that gangster walk is fucking T-Bone, man. Let his ass in the car. That's obviously a default in every vehicle. You know, I just fucking T-Bone drive any car he wants. But.
So what if I was, like, strolling up like Huggy Bear?
You'd have to do it every time.
It opens the door into your nuts and then runs over you.
That'd be pretty awesome if your car could adapt its voice, like, you know, when it talks to you, depending on how you walked. Like, if you did T-Bone strut, it'd be like...
Stereotype lawsuits out the ass.
It would be like, yo, T-Bone, what's up, dog?
Step up in this car, let's rotate these tires.
But, no, it'd be interesting, because it also would be an anti-theft technology, if you think about it, because if somebody doesn't recognize, tries to get into your car and use it, just by scanning their face real quick, it'll be able to...
And it could message your phone and be like, can this motherfucker drive your car? And you type back, no dog. Or, yeah, man, he's cool.
then depending on how you walked it, if you did a gangster walk, it would take a pistol whip out of the car compartment and pistol whip the guy.
Yeah,
that'd be so cool.
That's T-Bone's car.
Jeep Wrangler gonna have to smack a bitch?
What kind of car would be most likely to pistol whip somebody in that situation? Like, is this a Caddy we're talking about?
Chrysler 300.
300, yeah, okay. It's the 300. Gangster.
Any car with a cash stack in its trunk.
Oh, God.
I can see a Lincoln Town car doing something like that.
Maybe up in New York, but you guys are old school.
Cash stacks. Wow, is that really happening nowadays? Where instead of the 20-inch dubs, we're looking at stacks of cash just piling up in your car.
That's what I've seen in the rap videos.
I wish that was happening in my car.
Me too.
I don't have a trunk. I have an open bed, and that probably wouldn't work very well.
Dude, I got a truck. Fill it up,
and then drive down the freeway and make it rain.
Can I just walk down the street hauling a little wagon full of cash? A little red wagon? Would that be pimp enough?
That'd be medium pimping.
Yeah, for you, yeah. I'd say that'd be another large improvement.
So for your listeners, I mean, I was reading the show notes and I couldn't believe this. This is an actual real thing. People are really putting cash stacks in their cars.
Yes, they are. And the show notes and the links will be available as usual on the White Noise Podcast. .com on the WordPress, and
Seen that. I've seen porn playing in the TV monitors in the back seats of Lincoln Navigators down 610 in Houston. I've never seen cash stacks before.
Was anyone actually sitting in the back seat, or was it just playing?
No, they just play it. No, they just play it. That's very common.
It's hater vision, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You put TVs in the headrest where there's no seat behind, so people behind
exactly.
You can watch.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they get pissed off when they're tailgating them. Dude, I'm just trying to finish off here. Just slow down.
We've been talking a lot about the software side of cars. Switch a little bit to the hardware side. Whatever happened to fuel cells?
So I've driven a couple fuel cell cars, actually. People ask me, what's the coolest car you ever driven? Well, there's a few answers. But one of the coolest ones I ever drove was a Ford Edge hydrogen fuel cell car. This is the same one that President Bush tried to put an extension cord into the hydrogen port, and Alan Mulally knocked his hand away, and the CIA or the Secret Service were kind of like nervous. They didn't know why Alan Mulally was trying to knock Bush's hand away. Well, I got to drive that same car for 30 minutes. It's sweet, man. The tech works.
How do you guys feel about driving a fuel cell car? There's been a little bit of I don't know, hesitation, like, do I really want to sit on top of a thing that, right, if it explodes, takes out half a city block with me?
They crash test it, you know?
I think they're not gonna
I don't have a problem with it. It's just the price. Obviously, it's more expensive to be an initial purchaser of anything. You get all the issues with the initial purchase. Like, when the iPhone first came out, they had the antenna gate issue. Yeah, it was fixed by a bumper. But, I mean, you have cars that have issues. Like, yeah, they do tests. They do as many tests as they can. But until you get 10,000 people rolling up, you know, 1,000 miles a month, 2,000 miles a month on a car, that's a larger test fleet than they have. And there's going to be issues that crop up. There's going to be one and twos, and then there's going to be trends that they're never going to see. And with a car like that, I'm not as willing to be a test dummy for them. If it was like a new Wrangler, hell yeah. New car, whatever, yeah, toss me in it. But if it's something that's questionable technology, I don't know if it's going to... I doubt it's going to explode, but if it just fails to put power out, then you're, you know, SOL.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be ditched on the side of the road because your fancy schmancy car decided to take a dump. And Mr. Fusion doesn't work anymore.
Well,
fuck yeah, Mr. Fusion. Let's see if it's Mr. Fusion.
Glad somebody caught
over.
That. I am glad somebody caught that.
I just have to
pull
be Mr.
over,
Fusion.
Put a banana peel, some eggshells,
you know, drop a can of soda in there.
Is Mr. Fusion the replacement to Mr. Goodwrench?
No.
No.
Wow.
I missed that one. I'm sorry.
How can you call yourself a geek, sir?
We're going to stop this podcast while Steven goes and watches Back to the Future.
I was joking, you idiot.
I don't think you were.
No, I was damn serious.
I'll wait.
No, fuel cell cars, I mean, I think y'all were right in the show notes. The barriers are infrastructure. If we had fuel cell hydrogen, if we had hydrogen stations everywhere, you know, I think the rollout would be a lot easier. But as it stood, when I drove the Ford Edge High Series Drive, which is a hydrogen fuel cell car, the dirty secret behind it was that there was an Econoline that followed us. It was a massive truck, and it followed this edge wherever it went, and it turned gasoline into hydrogen. So it had what? The plant in the... Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's a demonstration. It's saying, hey, if we had the hydrogen infrastructure, this car could take clean hydrogen. And, you know, the thing ran completely seamlessly. It wasn't any slower than a Ford Edge off the line, the normal petroleum-powered Ford Edge. In fact, it was quicker because all that torque is available from zero RPM in an electric motor, right? And... I mean, it handled well. Roush did, I believe it was either Roush or Celine. I think it was Roush, did the chassis on the car. So you were riding on top of the fuel cell. Center of gravity was really low. Handled well. Dude, the thing worked. The question is infrastructure, you know? And yes, expense. They're expensive.
Yeah, even electric or hybrid cars haven't really broken the expense barrier yet. We're looking at almost, a decade now with electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles. And it's still only a very niche market of people does the hybrid car actually come on top in terms of economic benefit. Because
that'll change as technologies change, you know, when battery pack ranges grow.
Right.
That'll change. So the cost comes down.
Yeah, but I mean, like right now, you're paying a $5,000 premium on a car. And well, sometimes even $10,000, depending on the manufacturer. And when will you actually make up the $5,000 to say you came on top in terms of mileage? For some people, it's not for like 10 or 15 years.
There's a lot of people in LA that drive Toyota Priuses. That's something I noticed here, and it's amazing because LA is all freeway. You know, on a free in a freeway environment, most hybrids don't make any sense. They get less fuel economy in a highway environment than a four-cylinder equivalent, you know, would.
With that is in LA you're not actually doing freeway speeds.
I mean, how many times have you seen a Prius doing 85 miles an hour in hot lane? I see that all the time here. And he's getting less fuel economy than a Volkswagen Golf TDI.
See, that goes back to the fact that most people are fucking idiots. They buy it because it's pretty and it's more of a status symbol than an actual thought. They're like, oh, well, the Joneses down the street have a Prius. I got to get a Prius so that I don't look like some pauper driving around in my Cavalier. Well,
frankly,
you know what? Fuck you.
Well, frankly, I don't even see how the Prius is a social statement. I mean, the thing uses nickel metal hydride batteries. That's not even a high-tech car, you know?
Larry David drives one.
Larry David drives one. I get all my car advice from Larry David.
If it's on Curb Your Enthusiasm, I'm buying it.
No. Yeah, I don't think the Prius is more of like a status symbol like a BMW would be a status symbol or, you know, a Porsche.
It's a hipster. It's a statement.
Something like a douchebag status symbol. Like you know, an iPad. Free.
Like all my shopping bags are made of paper. You know, I only eat cage-free eggs. That sort of thing. That's...
Wow.
Mike, I think you just made a Bazooka Fox cry.
I don't care. I'm just upset that I can't hear it. I can't bottle his tears so they can give me sustenance.
No, we'll get a recording of it for the next podcast.
He's gonna go buy a BMW and drive it around your hood, ironically.
The thing I was talking, how do you Chris drive and I were talking about ethanol earlier when we were off-roading his Jeep, and ethanol is a really contentious subject. It's probably not something that your tech audience would be necessarily that interested in. But I think what I told him was
you're going to bring it up anyway.
What I'll say is that any new technology, like hydrogen, okay, so it's expensive and it's tough to transport and it's possibly volatile, and there's no infrastructure. Man, I will not say no to new alternative energies before they've been fleshed out. Imagine what people would have said about the cell phone. Oh, it's totally impossible to do a portable electronic device that can hold 8 gigabytes of data in your pocket. These things have to happen. The development has to happen over time. And I think America's R&D is just not happening anymore. I think this is our area to innovate. We really could take the lead for alt fuel development. And it's going to be the tech minds in this country that lead in that arena. You know what I mean?
Well, the tech minds on this podcast have a burning question that they want to ask you in particular.
Me?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Why don't I shut up?
No, it is. The question is, since you're the expert, it's 2010. Where the fuck's my flying car?
The flying car. No, I mean, I think that's what I used to close my videos with. Highmileage.org is campaigning for the flying car. That's what we work for in automotive, man. We might not be able to get you a flying car by 2015, but damn it, we can deliver something that gets 50 miles per gallon and can still haul your family. And I think all of us in automotive are unified. We just need the rest of the country to get on board. Kind of like the space race in the 50s, We need that alternative energy race. We need to figure out how to store energy and how to change to new fuels, you know what I mean?
Well, you also need to get Gran Turismo 5's release date on time and set down in
one
stone.
One step at a time.
Please, I thought it was canceled by now.
You're not even dealing with actual cars there. A physical model. You're dealing with software.
You're dealing with dreams and ideas.
Well, it's coming out on the 24th. I play GT, yes. I played ever since the first one. But
you like GT1, huh?
I like them all. I mean, I was actually a Need for Speed freak back in the day. Up until Hot Pursuit.
That had good menu music. You know that? Need for Speed had the best menu music ever.
My favorite Need for Speed was Need for Speed 2, believe it or not.
It was awesome.
But
it was great.
Yeah, I mean,
disagree.
I don't know what
to think when you just said you didn't like Hot Pursuit. That's like the best.
No, I said up to Hot Pursuit, the first one. The first Hot Pursuit.
Oh, okay.
That was like that one included. After that,
Porsche Unleashed is the one that lost
that
you.
I like Porsche Unleashed.
Really?
Yeah, I really like that one.
Why? What was it about that one that made you...
It's the one that actually made you give a shit.
I did. I gave a shit about that game. We used to play it for hours. I bought it out of a book club little thing in elementary school. I used to play it all the time.
Nice. Gonzo, do you play GT?
Yes, I do. I'm a big fan.
So, have you been a fan since GT1?
I didn't start playing until the third one.
See, here's the thing. People are freaking out over the release date of GT5. For the guys like me who have been on board since GT1, we know that there's no such thing as a release date for Gran Turismo. Doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't. You're right.
Yep. Every single time I used to make a Gran Turismo FAQ long time ago on the GranTurismo.com forums. I was a real GT geek. And there was never a release date. We learned like a week before it came out.
Well, I think the reason why it's funny now is because, well, not only has it been pushed forward like I don't know how long. I mean, it's now coming out next week in 10 days on the 24th.
In Europe,
yeah. But Gran Turismo 6 is already in development.
That's right. No,
what?
Your kids might enjoy it.
It might have flying cars in it actually by the time.
They're fucking better.
Hydrogen-powered flying cars. Well, I might be able to make the listeners a little bit jealous. I just got back from SEMA, and at SEMA, I ran into Kazunori Yamauchi, who is the producer of Gran Turismo, and a super, super nice guy, and he always has his translator right next to him. And he told me that Gran Turismo's gold disc, which is, I guess, the master disc, had already been stamped, and so they're producing copies of GT5 already.
Well, boy, I hope so.
He was also 10 days. I don't think we'll see it in the U.S. before Christmas, honestly.
That's disappointing.
I'm sad. He was nice enough to sign my copy of GT1, though, which was awesome.
That is cool.
But no, Gran Turismo 6, by the time it comes out, it's going to feature, like you said, fuel cell flying cars that actually drive themselves and have hazard aware software in it. You don't do anything. You just sit there and you watch the simulation go.
It'd be like
you can already do that with V-Spec. Electronic part.
And it'll be only available on your iPhone, so it'll have native iPhone integration.
Nice. Is this how y'all do a podcast wrap-up? I love that. That is in a package. It's perfect.
But this isn't a wrap-up yet. We're just
rambling.
This is what we do. We go off on tangents.
That seems pretty neat, actually. That's one nice package, man.
Listen, whenever in doubt, just say penis. You know?
Yeah, leave my package out of this.
Oh, I want your package sorry, all listeners. Over my grill.
hey, Vito, I have a comment for you.
I'm penis. Sure you do. Yep.
Why is Vito number 9?
Because, okay, since
that's a
nobody's
good question.
Ever asked this
yeah,
before.
Yeah, he has no clue either.
No, I do know. The whole reason it started is because the Vito is because I made a character named Vitorino on Sentinels a long time ago, and nobody actually wanted to say Vitorino. It's Italian. It means conqueror. Nobody actually wanted to call me Vitorino, so they just shortened it to Vito. So everybody's been calling me Vito for a couple years now. And then I made, you know, my account on Gizmodo, and I changed it a few times. It was OMG Vito when ponies got banned, and then it was Everybody Loves Vito, and then one day I was drunk off my ass on one of my favorite beers, which is Magic Hat number 9, and I changed it to Vito number 9. It's been that way ever since.
Will there be another iteration, and will it come before GT6?
You cannot predict these things. Our names change. I was Kevlar Steve Dave for 2 weeks.
Because you had major Kevlar, you have major Steve Dave penis envy.
Yeah. Well, he started it. He called himself Kevlar Menace or Kelvar Menace.
There was a serious bromance going on.
Totally.
I'm still waiting for it to come out on DVD.
Well, it's actually straight to VHS. So
VHS. Damn, I have to dig out my VHS player and use it.
I'm glad I saved a little GE top loader for that.
Oh man, we're gonna take a short break from cars just for a little bit, because I wanted to mention that you could get your weather news every day from Hot Sexy Taiwanese Models online, believe it or not.
Yes. Fuck yeah.
And this
yeah.
is from
do we finally get sponsored?
Maybe. Maybe. This is from the same company that makes out of Taiwan that makes those crazy animations, you know, with Steve Jobs dressed up as Darth Vader cutting off Jason Chen's hand off or whatever. The bears that are high in Denny's and, like, you know,
the bear with a bong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you can go to their website, which is nma.tv, NeroMartinAdam.tv/category/weather-girls. And you get your daily weather forecast wherever you are around the world by these girls on YouTube, which are all dressed the same, which bounce to the same kind of music. And
they're not all dressed the same, though. They have a new girl every month.
It's a new,
what it is.
Is it a new outfit every month?
Yeah.
Okay, because this month, all I saw, like, November was, like, the same little short blonde gold whatever.
Yes, because it's the same girl every month in the same outfit, but it changes. It does change.
So it is a different girl each day.
Yeah, you got like your Monday girl and your Tuesday girl.
No, but is it the same actress or is it a different girl?
No, it's a different girl.
Okay.
It's like every Monday is one chick and then every Tuesday is one chick.
You seem to be the resident expert on this on this topic.
Dude, I told you, I watched it. I said in the show notes, I watched it several times, and I've yet to see weather anywhere on there, but it's a great way to spend 3 minutes.
That's all it takes you?
Hey, man, you got to get in and get out. Don't waste the time. Sex is a race, man. Never lose.
Oh, fucking A.
The things people do to get publicity, jeez. Oh boy. But Kevlar, you I know are looking into getting a Windows Phone 7, right?
Yeah. It's I really like the way the interface looks. I just need to know if I can tether it.
Why don't you wait for the Kin 1 and 2 to come back again in a couple months?
Why don't I stab you in the fucking mouth and buy a Windows 7 phone?
Wait. The Kin is coming back?
They're relaunching the Kin. I think it's the Kin 1M and the Kin whatever M.
What does the M stand for? Mobile? Was it?
Mangina? I don't quit. Know.
I quit, Kin. I quit you.
Why the hell are they... I think they're bringing it back just because they have so much back stock of it that they need to get rid of it.
They were going to end up in the same landfill as all those AT or ET cartridges from oh so long ago.
Oh,
nobody
God.
Knows what the fuck I'm talking about.
No idea what you're talking about.
What?
Yeah, the Windows Phone 7. I really do like the interface, and I'm glad that Microsoft carried a lot of what it learned from making the Zune, like in the HD. To Windows Mobile, because I really did not like Windows Mobile at all for this. Like, it was, it's like dragging in Windows XP into like a 3-inch screen.
Ugh. It's disgusting.
I mean, that's pretty much what it is. You know, it had the little start menu like thing, and it basically required the stylus for the most part. Even, I mean, I know HTC supplemented a lot of this with their skinned interface over it, so it was a lot more finger friendly. But that still didn't do it for me.
You need a fleshlight. That's more finger friendly.
I don't believe you actually need to use your fingers for a fleshlight. That's the whole point of a fleshlight. It's a handle. It's basically a handle with a hole in it. I mean,
unless you're like Fruity and get the furniture model.
How do you hold it then?
No, you don't have to hold it. You just, I mean...
Come on.
You just kind of walk around
sometimes,
with it on your dome?
Sometimes
you make a mount. He makes a mount so he can just, like, hump it into submission.
A table vice.
Sometimes you just get bored of the usual routine and you just want a good finger bang.
Stick it in the couch.
I don't want to know how dudes finger bang themselves. That just... I don't know.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, I learned all I need to know from Fruity.
He did a great review.
Yeah,
thank you. Well, we were waiting for Gingerbread to get some details on Android 2.3 Gingerbread, which apparently all these developers have, but nobody knows about yet. So we're settling with Windows Phone 7 for now.
Damn NDAs.
But it's funny because they tweet about it, and they're like, "Yeah, I'm using this new Gingerbread on 2.3 and." It's got a dual core processor and this and that. Well, fuck you. You're giving us that much. Might as well just reveal the damn thing.
No, that's the thing. They're probably doing that, and they're allowed to do that to get page views for themselves, and they get the attention of people interested in the phone. It's actually smarter to do it that way because it's almost like a Jobs type hype. You don't actually tell people anything, but you know something's coming.
I have a secret.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah, well, fuck you, Kevlar. I disagree with you. That's the best. That's the best argument I could do.
Yeah. Thanks, Joel.
Oh man.
Yeah. Third of all, fuck you.
And I think this is a good spot for me to do my little review.
Yes, please do.
Yes. For those that don't know already, I got the Clear 4G USB modem for my laptop. And for those who don't know what the hell Clear is, it's pretty much a company that provides 4G coverage across major metropolitan areas throughout the United States. I am in Chicago, so I'm in one of the original test beds for Clear. But it's slowly spreading around the world like Skynet. But...
Do you have just a little USB modem, or is it like a standalone thing?
No, there's two options you could get with that. There's you could either actually there's three options. I take that back. You could either do the little USB modem that comes in two varieties, strictly 4G or 4G with a 3G backup built in. So if you ever lose 4G, it switches automatically to 3G. You could get the, it's called the iSpot on the go, which is pretty much 4G capabilities for your iPad, iPhone, or iPod Touch. And how that works is I think you just download a little app, and it connects through Wi-Fi from that, which gives you pretty much, you know, Wi-Fi across the city wherever you are. And the third thing is like a little, I think the term for it is a MiFi, where it's a little thing that looks like an Apple Mighty Mouse, and it connects up to five devices on that thing. It's like a little hub to tether them to. But I got the regular little 4G USB dongle, and I actually did a thorough test. I didn't just say, ooh, look, you know, it works. I took it around town. I took it within a 35 to 40 mile radius around Chicagoland, including the city center and the suburbs. And I must say, I was impressed with the reception on the 4G and the speed. 4G, the speeds of 4G that they advertise are around 6 megabits per second. I was averaging around 7 to 9 on average with a good signal strength. They say that the farther away from the city you are, the worse your reception gets. That's not true. It stays constant throughout. There are some dead zones, obviously, but not many and not big. I took it on a train ride, a 40-minute train ride from the suburbs to the center of the city, and I was streaming both Sirius Radio, XM Radio, and I was streaming live television on my laptop. And I believe I lost connection maybe two or three times, but it wasn't extensive to the point where I'm sitting there, you know, for 10 minutes without a connection. It was maybe like a brief 2-minute interrupt, and then it would pick back up. So that was really nice. In terms of...
I got a question.
Oh. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Do you happen to know off the top of your head what frequencies it uses? Is it the same that's used by, like, the 3G system? I'm asking for, like, building penetration reasons. Like, do you get service good inside of a,
like, it's, I believe, large building? Here's where the iffy part comes. It depends on the building structure itself. I took it to an area about 30 miles outside the city. On the normal, on ground level, I was getting full signal strength. Then I took it to the building of this place, which was to the basement. It was, you have steel beams and thick concrete and stuff. And although I was getting 3G signal, I was not getting 4G signal. If I let it sit for maybe a few minutes, it would pick up maybe one bar of signal, and I would get speeds of about half a megabit per second, which is still not that bad, but that's only if it found a sweet spot. So the penetration's a little bit less than, a little bit weaker than 3G. However, in the city center, where I was inside, for example, my campus, in the middle of the building, without any windows or anything, I was still getting full signal strength. So I guess it depends on your location and how well supported 3G or 4G is in your area. But for those who are interested in picking it up, you do have a 14-day trial to use it, in which you can return to get a refund and your money back. You get it at Best Buy, which is where I got it from. The modem, you can get it either with a plan or without a plan. The plan lets you lease the modem for $4 a month if you're on a 2-year contract. If you don't want to do a contract, you purchase the modem for about $75, and you're obviously not bound to a contract. Then it becomes $45 a month for the service, which is the basic 4G USB service. If you're looking for the one that's just strictly for your iPhone, iPad, or iPod, that's around $25 a month. And if you want 3G backup as well, that's about $55 a month, and they worked surprisingly well and surprisingly thorough in my tests around the city.
Okay, that sounds really cool. I was I just looked it up. It's a 2.5 to 2.6 gigahertz range, slightly higher than your typical cell phone. So it is going to suffer a little bit of signal degradation inside of a large concrete, really dense building. Mm-hmm. But that's how it gets the speeds it gets, is by pushing the faster frequencies.
Right. And I noticed that pretty much if you have Sprint 4G coverage in your area, you most likely have clear 4G coverage in your area. Their maps are identical. Yes, they're on the same thing. So that's another way to know if you have it or not. But so yeah. I just try it out for 14 days. What do you have to lose?
Yeah, I'll definitely be looking at this because I'm looking
for my virginity.
Well, we can't help you with that yet.
I can. But, sorry.
Well, I'm definitely in the market for something like this, so this is definitely good news. So, what's that plan? How much is it a month again? For like, if I wanted to just hook it up to my laptop,
it's $45 a month.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, I pay much more than that for.
But it's unlimited. You're not limited bandwidth wise, which is why a lot of times if you saw any of the iPad is on Verizon's network now posts that were happening on Gizmodo, I'd always be in there trolling saying, don't fucking do that, because Verizon will charge you $30 a month for, what is it, 2 gigs of data on their
something
network?
Yeah, is that what it is? Like,
yeah, wow. for $5 cheaper, you could get it from Clear and get unlimited 4G speeds and with unlimited downloads. So,
well, that's if you're in an area that has 4G.
If you're in an area that
still
has coverage,
very limited.
Yeah,
yeah, so I'm in New York, so I should have it.
Yeah, you got it. You got it where you are, but it's not. It's like where I am right now. It hasn't made it out to northern New Jersey yet.
Right, but if it is available, you should definitely give it a spin. And if you and the 3G option, which was the most expensive plan, that is limited 3G. I think that gives you 2 or 4 gigabytes of download bandwidth a month.
But that's only on 3G.
Like that's only on the 3G. If you use the 3G backup, it's only that much of 3G bandwidth a month. You're still unlimited on the 4G.
Oh, so they probably won't sell it to you if you're out in the devil's ass, otherwise known as New Jersey.
Oh no, they'll sell it to you. If you're fucking dumb enough to pay for it, they'll sell it to you.
Well, it depends if your hair is slicked back and all you do is GTO.
Oh boy. Let's tone it down on the prejudice jokes.
I am only here to provide stupid comments. I know nothing about anything else.
Actually, let's not.
I'll go back to tweeting. I'm sorry.
He's tweetering on his Twitter.
Yeah, we're making fun of Italians.
We're not making fun of Italians. I'm Italian. We're making fun of shithead Guidos.
Yeah, I was not making fun of Italians. I was making fun of New Jerseyans.
We don't need to get any fish in the mail.
T-Bone is Italian, so I mean.
T-Bone's whatever he wants to be.
Right.
And apparently he's country right now.
T-Bone, oh, the Italian redneck.
That's a mental image.
I think I've met a few of those before, and it's not pretty.
Top Gear. Who watches that?
Oh, I love Top Gear. I watch Top Gear all the time.
Add that to the list of British shows that America's going to fuck up.
Well, they already did. Did you see the teaser for the first episode, or the first episode, rather?
I refuse. I have not watched.
Oh, I'm glad you guys hate that, because I'm totally not into it. I saw it on the show notes, and I was like, oh my god, I'm going to stay out of this. But maybe you guys can help me out with this grassroots campaign I've got. Yeah, well, maybe you guys can help me out. Chris and I thought of this Top Gear drinking game. So I don't know whether you guys have any suggestions.
Is this a money making idea?
I mean.
we'll say it is another White Noise podcast money making idea.
Yeah, we haven't had one yet.
That we throw out for free.
Yes.
That's Curtis. That's why I'm a .org, highmileage.org.
So go on with your money making idea about.
So
drinking.
Every time they say "brah," that's going to be a drink. Every time they say the Europeans, the Japanese, or the Americans, I'm going to say I'm going to drink. And I don't know. What ideas do you guys have? Because it seems to me the quality of this show is drinking game fodder.
They say every time the car leaves the ground, you finish your drink.
Nice.
Oh, God. Yeah, the American Top Gear is not really my cup of tea. The British Top Gear, the original Top Gear, And that's what it's all about. I think it matters. Yeah,
I love that one.
Well, I mean, even if just because, you know, it's entertaining to listen to these guys speak, you know, the fastest car in the world, you know, like.
I was watching the one on the topic list, which was the YouTube video of how they did the road test with the Ford Fiesta.
And oh yes.
Did anybody else see that one?
Yeah, in the mall.
Yes, and the reason they did that was because they got an angry letter from a viewer saying that they thought that their review of the Ford Fiesta was sort of on the, you know, bland side, and they didn't really review it thoroughly, you know, give it a good thorough review. So they decided to do a thorough review just for this guy, and they took it through a shopping mall, driving it inside a shopping mall, being chased by a Corvette, all around a shopping mall for half an hour, and then after they did that, they took it into an invasion of a beach of some sort, a beach invasion with the Marines, the Royal Military, and the Marines, and you see this little Ford Fiesta just nosedive into like about 3 or 4 feet of water and crawl its way all the way to the beach with gunfire and bombs blasting everywhere. And I'll be honest with you, I'm getting a Ford Fiesta this summer.
Nice.
I like it really? Because of that episode.
I'm in the market for getting a car in Europe this summer as a small little cheap hatchback. And I was, you know, looking up stuff like the Fiesta or the Fiat Grande Punto and all this other stuff. Dude, that video alone made me want to get the Ford Fiesta.
You could easily take over France in the Ford Fiesta.
Have you seen the commercial that Film Riot did for the Ford Fiesta?
No.
It's kind of awesome. Do you know who Film Riot is?
That's very descriptive. You know.
All right.
It's not a visual.
Is it the zombies one? The zombies commercial?
No, one of the guys buys a Ford Fiesta, and he's driving. He's talking to his buddy. He's like, yeah, I just bought it. I'm already in love with it. And then he pulls over and picks up a hitchhiker. And the hitchhiker just gets in, and he sits there, doesn't say anything. And the guy's like, all right, well, I'm going this way. And right as he's getting ready to drive off, the hitchhiker just goes, this is a nice car. And he's like, yeah, thanks. I don't know much about it. So he starts singing all about the car, and he tells them about everything about the car in the amazing song. I'm going to put it up in the chat right now. We can add it to the show notes because everybody needs to see this. It's great. For serious.
I'll be putting it up on the Twitter for sure.
That was off my radar. Thank you for that. I'll go check that out.
But yeah, we could broaden your radar.
Ford Fiesta, and if you could get a companion Marine or military officer to accompany you in the car, like in the video, that'd be pretty sweet too.
Officers are worthless. Get an enlisted man.
Well, just know that you can only fit two magazines of ammunition in your glove compartment.
It's a little bit small. But the gas grenades.
You don't put them in the glove box.
The gas grenades do fit perfectly into the cup holders.
Though. Yes, yes.
That is something to note.
Convenient. It was made for an invasion.
Wow.
But, no, and it's a little, what is it, a little 1.2 or a 1.4 liter engine in there?
The United States version is a 1.6. The Mazda 2 is a 1.5, yeah. So U.S. version is 1.6, 122 horse TIVCT.
That is the equivalent of the European, which is the Fiesta, the S1600 Fiesta,
yep.
which is like 30 grand over there.
Oh, really? Uh-oh. So the one that you're going to get is not going to be the S1600?
No, it's the one that they use for the invasion of France. It's the 1.4 liter, I believe, or the mid-range model.
Man, I'm going to... Okay, all right. I'm going to have to come back on here and get your thoughts.
Well,
those are awesome.
In a few months after I've invaded, you know, the Ukraine.
The Ukraine.
The Ukraine. That's right, Ukraine. White noise is coming for you in a Ford Fiesta.
Leave Ukraine alone!
We're going to touch you in the Ukraine.
You know, say Ukraine weak. Yeah, I noticed, like, the Fiesta is a big car, though, I will say. Like, you know, it's a smallish hatchback. But I actually saw one at the Javits Center. And it's a pretty tall car. Like the Taurus is. Like, the Taurus is pretty big.
Well, I don't know. I still haven't seen one. I'm an SUV guy, so I can't really say that any car is tall. The tallest car I've seen is Forester, you know. But Adam and I went to the unveiling party up in L.A. for the Fiesta, and I'm 6'1". They're pretty damn comfortable. They got they're not bad cars if you like cars. I hate cars, so I cannot recommend anyone buy it. I think everyone should buy a Jeep or a truck.
I'm a truck individual.
Yeah.
I've got a big four-wheel drive Ram, and that's another thing about electric cars that I wanted to mention earlier. Until I can throw fucking 2 yards of mulch in the back of it and drive that bitch home, don't give me no fucking electric bullshit. Give me a fucking Hemi.
Yeah. We have a saying in Texas that you can't bale hay in a Prius. So, automotive diversity is very important.
Well, I mean, the problem with electric motors and heavy loads is you're going to burn the motor up. It's going to basically do the same thing as when you're trying to burn your clutch up. It's gonna kill it.
Onboard nuclear reactors, man. That's all you need, and a big ass electric
flux capacitor.
I think if they do four electric motors, one on each tire, independently controlled, that you can either take over, or you can have the computer run. You can get some awesome crawling, awesome mudding out of them. I've seen some video done with independent four-wheel drive with hydraulics. They have one hydraulic motor on each tire, and it's just amazing what they can crawl. They just use one tire to pull them up over a fucking, 7-foot ledge.
There's a car that was made in Japan that actually has 6 wheels, each with their own individual motor. This thing was actually able to reach, 200 miles an hour, which is pretty amazing, for an electric car. I have to find this thing. It's a pretty funky looking vehicle too.
Well, I'm intrigued.
I'm intrigued.
While you find that,
I don't give a shit.
Why don't we switch gears? Get it? Switch gears.
Hello.
Switch gears really quick to something that I want that we didn't cover last podcast. I really wanted to. What was the Dell Inspiron Duo.
That looks amazing. Sorry.
So it's a little, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a little tablet that you could flip open and prop it up like a laptop with a full keyboard all built in.
Ooh.
Interesting.
It's like a little netbook that does that.
My biggest question on that is when you have it set on the dock, in the keyboard, because you can detach the screen, right? Or not at all?
I mean, from the keyboard?
I thought you could totally detach it, or am I incorrect?
I wasn't sure about that. I didn't see any info about that. I just saw the screen sort of popping out above the keyboard.
Okay. Because I know I've seen a couple of items where it was you could have the standalone, and you plugged it into the keyboard dock, and you could either have it as a tablet or as a regular thing.
The way I see it in the video, it's like it plugs in, and then you can flip the screen around, so it's a tablet, or you can flip it around and it becomes a laptop.
Yeah. Okay.
So. It swivels around.
Okay.
I just remember the tablets and slates have been around. Gosh, since when? 2003, 2004. I mean, people are treating iPad and these new slate PCs like new tech, and they're not
because they're magical.
Well, I mean,
Steve Jobs says it's magic.
See, the tablet PCs is basically, I mean, I remember seeing a few of them when I was in school, like saying around 2005. Girl in my class was using a Toshiba, and it was basically XP, on a convertible tablet, and she was using it to write down notes rather than using the keyboard for some reason. And I mean, I can see why people are giving things like the iPad more attention, because really those tablets, they were a nice idea. It's just the battery life was no better.
They were just ahead of their time.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, it wasn't so much that they're ahead of their time. They would have been great if they had gotten the UI or the GUI to be readily accessible to hands. It wasn't based on mouse gestures. They were stuck with a mouse versus being like once Apple did the, you know, the multi-touch and all that stuff on the iPhone, it kind of like, you know what, this works. Let's expand that. And that it makes more sense for touch computing. They've really changed the thing of that. But the only, I remember seeing back in 2003, a tablet PC one of my professors was using. The only good use I've ever seen for one of those prior to like the iPad thing was he used it to, he displayed his slides and he recorded that he had screenshots going of it, but if he had notes he wanted to write on the slide that went to the projector, he would write with his little stylus input, it would put it directly on the slide, that would be recorded, you could download it later. But
there's a problem, they were using a stylus, doing it wrong.
Well, no, the stylus makes sense if you're doing notes. Like, if you're doing shorthand notes, like he was doing.
Or drawing.
Well, you didn't say, I am quoting Steve Jobs here.
You know what? In other words, what you're saying is the tablet was ahead of its time.
The tablet wasn't usable because they were too narrow-minded.
I'm not even saying that. I'm not even saying that. I'm saying that I'm bothered by the memification of technology. Like, this whole iPod and iPhone, I guess, craze that came along within the past 2 or 3 years. Where were these people when I was carrying around a pocket PC in 2002? You know, like, I mean,
they were laughing nerdcore. At you.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was, and I'm deeply hurt by that. And I figured this would be a good place to get support. I'm wondering, you know.
We'll be your bra. We'll support you.
Y'all are awesome. Try to take it. Try to take a
white
drink.
Noise. That's
like
or your jock strap.
If you want to buy a Hyundai Equus? That's a terrible name.
But it's the exact name of a Broadway show which the Daniel Radcliffe from Harry Potter had sexual dreams and did sexual actions with a horse.
No, that's Equist. It's a little, it's spelling a little different.
Either way, it's a better name than Windows Mobile Phone 7. It's a better name than that.
But hey. Yeah, if you buy one of those cars, you get a free iPad for a limited time.
Yeah, used to. That's old.
Okay.
Oh, but the limited time has expired. You can't get
well,
it.
Let's talk about that, though. I
We're
mean,
on
it's,
top of
it's
shit,
limited
Steve.
Production, and it's just kind of like a... Like just a news gathering headline, right? Like they wanted to be mentioned on podcasts like this to drum up hype for the Equus by giving this kind of gimmick away. But it's again, it's not new. Chrysler went to DVD manuals 2 years ago. Did y'all know that?
No, I did not.
No idea.
Well, I mean, it seems to me like that in the era of Twitter and YouTube, people want information pushed to them. They're not going to sit down and read a 130-page manual, you know. They wanted 140 characters. Exactly. Yeah, it's got
to
be Twitter digestible. People don't have the attention span for that anymore.
I like reading manuals. I like getting into a car and reading the damn manual to find out silly little crap that you never know about the
infant. I mean,
I like manuals, but I remember my mom bought a minivan like in the 90s that had the manual on cassette tape, which was totally awesome.
What kind of minivan was this? This is wonderful.
It was the Dodge Caravan, like the 96 model or something.
Really?
Was it like awesome. VHS or was it
No, cassette? It was like an audio cassette. Oh, like you could put it in and listen to it and it would like talk to you and tell you about your car.
That's the worst idea ever.
I read my manual from start to finish when I bought my car a couple of years ago. I mean, I felt really excited by it. I don't know how I would feel about having to put it in a computer.
I need to know who makes a good owner's manual. So what kind of car do you have now?
GTI, Volkswagen.
Oh, okay. Interesting owner's manual, huh?
It is.
Okay.
Does it pop up or something?
Yeah.
Pop up
one
pictures.
Of the best owner's manuals I've ever read was the Mitsubishi Outlanders, and I had that like maybe a couple months ago. All of the sketches are like Japanese anime, like manga. It's like a manga book. It's awesome.
Hey, I'm gonna let you finish, but the Mitsubishi I has the best manual of all time.
Yes,
yeah,
so
that's all.
JDM
dog.
No, I was looking at the sorry.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say something about tentacle porn, but go ahead.
Well, I'm looking at the Equus here, and Hyundai says it's looking at the $50,000, $60,000 range.
Yeah, about 55.
I mean, what are you looking at when you're talking about offerings in that price range?
You're looking at nobody buying it.
No. Well, 55, frankly, it's supposed to go against like a Mercedes S-Class, like a BMW 7.
Have you seen it? It looks like they cloned the Mercedes. Right. and they took the liquidation trust to the front end.
But nobody has to buy that thing because it's here's the inside story on Equus. First, gosh, did you guys hear about the Korean U.S. trade agreement stuff going down this week?
No.
Was it like military arms or something?
No, it's about trade. It's why, you know, we can't sell Motorola cell phones there, but they flood our market with Samsungs and LGs here. Don't know anything about that?
For every
54 cars they sell here, we're allowed to sell one in South Korea.
What?
Yeah. So do some research on that. I'll find some links and y'all can put it in the show notes. But Equus is a homegrown Korean luxury vehicle. So if you're a dignitary or CEO in Korea, South Korea, which has an essentially closed automotive market, you have to be chauffeured around in an Equus, right? The R&D costs of developing the Equus have already been taken care of. Bringing it to the United States and selling it here costs them absolutely nothing, and they don't have to sell any of them to make a profit. They made their profit in Korea. The R&D costs have already been taken care of. You know, they're just doing it here just to get buzz. You know,
that's what I want an Equus now.
No, because I had no idea about that. Like, you know, I was simply seeing them as taking the same route as the Volkswagen, the Phaeton, which was a terrible failure because nobody wants to pay $70,000 for a Volkswagen. Same thing, nobody wants to pay $55,000 for a Hyundai. At least in the perceptions of American citizens.
You have to unmute, Chris.
And nobody wants to hear him anyway.
I'm yelling at myself. Anyway, the thing is they threw in all the high-end gadgets and gizmos on the inside, but gidgets. Gadgets or gadgets.
Gidget penises.
the gidget penises. What makes the difference in the car? You can have all the shiny shit you want on the inside, but if it doesn't have the handling and performance of a Mercedes or BMW, don't throw that price tag on it. It's like,
And they didn't, because the 7 Series and an S-Class with the same kind of equipment, like these crazy rear massaging seats and all this kind of stuff, you're looking at a $75,000 to $80,000 equivalent BMW, Audi, or Mercedes.
But it's still well out of its range.
Now, here's the thing. Exactly. I agree for different reasons. Inside, it has the substance. Powertrain, it has the substance. But the exterior has no cachet. Like, it doesn't roll up and make you gasp and say, oh, my God, that thing is wild. Hyundai Sonata has the power to do that. That thing looks twice its price. They went absolutely nuts with it.
Well, I'm telling you, if they want to make it sell, they got to have the seat so that it has a built-in scrotum scratcher. Or a scrotum tickler. Whichever you prefer.
A French tickler?
I don't know. But that would probably sell.
I don't care what you put in a Hyundai. It's not going to be worth $50,000.
What if it tickles your scrotum? What if it tickles your scrotum and blows...
I can do that myself for free.
And what if it blows air up your butthole, too, while you're driving?
I don't want air being blown up my butthole. I get enough of that.
What do you want, too? I want that. I'm going to say I want that.
Like a fresh air enema? Now, do you do you intend to drive naked in in this car at any time to take advantage of this?
I'll drive pantless. I'm not afraid to do that.
Did you guys ever read those coming of age books when you were a teenager, like coming of age in America or whatnot?
Like coming or what?
No, like coming as in I'm coming to your house, coming.
No, I don't think so.
Well, there was this one. It was like chicken soup for the teenage soul was the book, and one of the articles in it was about this girl who described her experience at being called over to a car that was run by a stranger, and she got really close to it. The stranger rolled down his window, and he was sitting there naked from the waist down, with a little string tied as a lasso around his penis, and he was sort of like bobbing it up and down with his hand.
Wow.
And then he laughed and drove away. And she was sitting there all stunned. And that was her coming of age story.
That's creepy. Just wasn't a story that belonged on familywatchdog.us.
I don't know, but I would hate for that to be my coming of age story. That'd be terrible.
The first time I saw a penis, it was at the end of a noose.
Oh, God.
No, I'm just gonna say no.
Yeah, good. But, sorry about that, guys. The internet here just died.
It's all good.
Nice.
But we were just talking about penises and mooses.
Yeah, moose knuckle. Yay. I love moose knuckle.
But anyway, either way, though, we got to wrap this up. We're over a time limit. We talked too much.
Are we really?
Yeah, we're at a buck 15.
Wow. I don't give a shit. Nice.
I have more questions night. About tablets.
Yeah, we have a time limit, Adam. Shut up. Oh, he's going to throw something at me.
I don't blame him.
Fuck you, man.
I'm going to throw my dick right at your face, and you're going to like it.
Oh, yeah, I love pubes in my mouth. Hey, can someone make sure that gets in the intro? Please? I'm serious. That would be awesome.
All right, let's wrap this up. Thank you once again to all you guys for coming out tonight, for joining us on this special Auto Tech edition of the podcast. I'd like to send a special thank you to Adam High Mileage Barrera for tuning in with us tonight. Thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. And just to do a quick roll call real fast, tonight we had Kevlar Menace.
Hey, guys.
Gonzo Rider.
See you next week.
Vito Number 9.
A
Kaiser Mechhead.
Hey, it's been fun, guys.
And of course, special guest Adam High Mileage Barrera.
Thanks, guys. See y'all on the flip.
Thank you. And of course, me, Configlio Rumblemeyer, as your host.
That is the lamest name ever.
Awesome. And he doesn't even spell it right. That's a stupid thing.
How is it? Do you know how to spell my name?
Yes. Yeah. There's only one E. Yeah, there's only one E.
No, Meyer.
It's M-Y-E-R.
No, it's M-E-Y-E-R.
No, that's silly. That's the Americanized spelling. That's obviously not... That's not Rumpelstein's. That's not how the Rumpelstein spelled it, okay?
What? Shit. You and the Rumpelstein...
The Rumpelsteinians...
What do the Rumpelsteins have to do with this?
Very specific as to how they spell their names.
Oh, fuck off.
You fuck off, you fuckers.
Anyway... this podcast's over. Fuck you guys.
Until next week.
Till next week. Goodbye.
Fuck you, penis.
Don't forget to buy a penis tickler, cock scrotum, ass blowing thing for your car.
And follow us on Twitter.
And you can always follow us at Twitter at twitter.com/thewhitewalletpizza. And you can also get
our wallet
twitter.com/walletpizza or get us at thewhitenoisepodcast.com. With links to our iTunes, the Zune, for the one person that uses it, which is Kevlar. And
Don't forget, you can also usually find most of us on the street corners in our respective neighborhoods wearing short shorts, tights, and possibly an umbrella if it's raining.
Yes.
Please contact us directly as our weekly rates change.
Are rates change weekly?
Mine do.
Fuck it. Economic crisis, buddy. Inflation.
Mine change daily based on the... exchange rate.
Mine changed based on what the
exchange rape.
I mean, what?
Mine changes based on my mood.
Oh, we can't get through one episode without talking about dicks and rape, can we?
Nope.
It's impossible.
Nope. I'm starting to think that I made a promise that I will never be able to keep.
What's that?
You don't remember a few episodes ago? I was like, I promise all you listeners one day we'll make it through an episode without talking about dicks.
Yeah, right.
This is why we can't have anything nice.
That's gonna happen.
Well,
right after that, two people were like, "No, we won't, dick, cock, penis."
Well, I think we've succeeded in disappointing the world and our future generations of offspring, if we ever get offspring because of this podcast. I don't know.
I got one coming.
Woohoo!
I've polluted the gene pool twice thus far.
Daddy, we're disowning you. We heard some podcast where all you did was talk about penis and rape.
Oh, I have a feeling that my kid's going to be just as crude as I am. I was playing Mario Kart earlier, and if you've played Mario Kart on the Wii, you know how fucking frustrating 12 people on the track at one time can be. So I'm like right near the finish line, first place.
Blue shelled.
Dude, not just blue shell. I got blue shelled, red shelled,
and
lightning
blue-balled.
Bolted. So I was like, fucking dick! And then I hear my son right behind me, yeah, that guy's a dick with his blue shells.
Oh, you should have got that on camera. That would have been an instant viral video.
keep in mind, he's not going to be 7 until a couple of days from now, so.
All right.
So, yeah, this guy's a dick.
Happy birthday to young Vito.
We gotta wrap this up. Have a good night,
still
guys.
Recording?
Yes, I am. Now, all the children will now know that it's okay to say dick.
What about penis?
Penis, too.
Okay.
They should already know that by now.
Well, I guess we're done.